This is Penguin Radio.
Love and happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love. Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something going wrong.
This is Keeping It Real, Talking Kefil with DJ Unspoken. Fridays, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Stay real, y'all.
Talking about how she can make it right, yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Hey. Oh, baby, love and happiness.
Love and happiness.
Love.
What up, what up? Your favorite DJ here, the one and only Unspoken. Come to you live from Penguin Radio on this beautiful Friday morning. And I have my guest with me, as usual, Karina. Welcome.
Hello.
Today's topic is families. We're going to talk about same-sex families, traditional families, and single-family households. But before we get into that, we're going to get into my Real Feel segment. As always, this is like, what, the third time now? I think? Yeah. Maybe? But... My real feel segment today goes, you know, I really feel I strongly dislike sensitive people, especially those who play victim all the time. You can't be a victim all your life. You can't be soft as charming tissue. I mean, that's just me personally. I don't feel like you should be soft as charming tissue, but hey, that's your choice. That's your choice. But just not a strong dislike you. I know that there are sensitive people, but it's not about what people say. I mean, I know it's not what you say, it's how you say it, but it's also how you take it. That's a lesson I learned from my sister on the way to Tennessee. Me personally, I know I can be brutally honest, but hell, they talked about Jesus, so what makes you think you're special? Also, my mom is so smart. She once told me that leaders aren't popular. When I came to school, I was placed in a role of leadership, and every day I get reminded that I need to act in a role of a leader. And I'm doing the best I can with what I got. I feel people don't like the way I handle things because they expect me to do things the way they want to be done rather than how I believe they should be done. Now, where does that leave me any room to be creative or just even be me personally? But I guess I really strongly, strongly, strongly dislike when people mistake me for a guy. Like, hello, just because I have short hair doesn't mean I'm a guy. Like, I feel as if people are just plain ignorant. For instance, the other day I came out of the women's locker room. These three white girls were shocked to see me walk out of there. So out of sarcasm, I went and said, sorry, I look like a guy. You know, haha, funny. And then this dummy from the boys' basketball team goes to say, you only look like a guy from far away. Just pure ignorance. Just, why even say that? I mean, seriously, it's 2015. Like, come on, have you never seen women with short hair? I mean, I don't think Ruby Rose gets mistaken for a guy, and she has short hair. But that's for another topic. But however, it's mostly young white people who always mistake me for a guy. It's not even the seasoned older whites who probably can barely see who I am or can probably don't even hear how I sound, but... It's not even the people of my own culture that I'm saying for a guy. It's just younger Caucasian adolescents, I guess, adolescents or people. All I can say is get it together. All I can do is pray the ignorance away, pretty much. How do you feel about that? Do I look like a guy to you?
I don't think that you do. I mean, you have short hair and you dress comfortably, but I don't think you look like a guy.
Yeah, I don't know where they get that idea from. But, I mean, hey, like I said, it's 2015. Just all I can do is just pregnant in a survey because it's just absolutely ridiculous. But, however, now segue into my idea of family. I have a quick question. What is the rush on commitment? I'm all for love, but people getting married and have children at a young age. Like, some of the people I went to high school with are already on their third child. Like, slow down. I mean, just, you know, live life a little bit. I know that, you know, it may just maybe happen out of nowhere, but, you know, slow down, enjoy life because you only get one. And then my lovely guest wanted to add, slow the thrust because there ain't no rush. Apparently that was something funny that she wanted to add in there, but I guess. What do you think about people getting married at a young age and having children and starting a family so early?
I would have to say that if you would have asked me this like when I was 10 years old, I'd be like, yeah, I would want to be married and have 10 kids by now. But now that I am older and realize what life is and what real life is, basically, I definitely want to wait. I used to want 10 kids and I don't even know if I want to. So we'll go ahead and see about that. But I definitely think people should wait. There's a whole lot for people to experience. And I'm not saying that kids aren't a blessing, but it'd be nice if you can experience those things fully without having to change a diaper every couple hours.
And yeah, I mean, hey, condoms are more, I would say, cheaper than diapers. So
and they're more
and easier to change as well, too. I mean, just, you know, if you want to start a family early, I mean, congrats to you. But for people who are just doing it just out of spite, I mean, chill down. You got a lot of life to be living, a lot of time to find love. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to head into our first break. You have listened to me, DJ Unspoken, on Keeping It Real, Talking Phil, on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. When we come back, we'll dive into our first topic of family, same sex. So stay tuned.
If I were a boy, even just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go.
Music on demand.
Drink beer with the guys and chase after girls. I kick it with who I wanted and I never get confronted for it. 'Cause they stick up for me. If I were a boy, I think I could understand how it feels to love a girl. I swear I'd be a better man. I listen to her.
On demand,
I would turn off my phone, tell everyone it's broken, so they think that I was sleeping alone. I put myself first and make the rules as I go. She'd be faithful, waiting for me to come home, to come home. If I were a boy, I think I could understand, oh, how it feels to love a girl. I swear I'd be a better man.
Hey, we are back on Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California. I'm your favorite DJ, DJ Unspoken. Let's get into it. As I said over the break, we're going to be talking about same-sex families. Karina, you have any thoughts on that before we dive in?
Same-sex families, all for it.
All for it, that's it? That
all for comment. It.
All for it. All right, I'm going to read you some statistics that I looked up on an article. It says, studies estimate that between 1 and 9 million children in the United States have had at least one parent who is lesbian or gay. There are approximately 594,000 same-sex partner households, according to the 2000 census. And there are children living in approximately 27% of those households. It is difficult to obtain an accurate count of same-sex parent families because many lesbian and gay men are not open about their sexual orientation due to fears of discrimination such as loss of employment, loss of child custody, and anti-gay violence. There is not a usual gay family. Some same-sex couples may decide to have a child within their relationship, while others may bring children from previous heterosexual or same-sex unions. The rise in same-sex parenting is partially due to the increase of options available for same-sex couples to become parents. Although most children of same-sex couples are biological children of one of the parents, a growing number are the results of donor insemination, surrogacy, foster care, and adoption. Most research studies show that children with two moms or two dads fare just as well as children with heterosexual parents. In fact, one comprehensive study of children raised by lesbian mothers or gay fathers concluded that children raised by same-sex parents did not differ from other children in terms of emotional functioning, sexual orientation, gender role behavior, behavioral adjustment, gender identity, learning, and grade point averages. While research differences have been found, they have sometimes favored same-sex parents. For example, adolescents with same-sex parents reported feeling more connected at school. Another study reported that children in gay and lesbian households are more likely to talk about emotional difficult topics, and they are often more resilient, compassionate, and tolerant. The same concern that face many heterosexual parents when they are deciding to have children also face same-sex couples, including time, money, responsibility to parenthood. Likewise, many of the parents' tasks faced by same-sex parents are similar to those faced by heterosexual parents, such as providing appropriate structure for children, while also being warm, accepting, setting limits, teaching open and honest communication, healthy conflict resolution, and monitoring of children's peer network and extracurricular activities. Some differences may include adapting to different types of family forms, the impact of social stigma on the family, and dealing with extended family members who may not be supportive of the same-sex parenting. One of the biggest challenges facing same-sex parenting families is that they must live in a culture that supports heterosexualism and homophobic attitudes and beliefs, which can affect these families in a variety of ways. So far, I just basically read what the statistics of children grow up with same-sex parents and how the family is, and the difference from no heterosexual household. Your takes on the article so far?
My takes on the article will have to be that I personally would have to agree with some of the statistics. I have one of my best friends is actually was raised by a homosexual family, and I wouldn't have to say there's a major difference, but I wouldn't have to say that there's any negative outcomes on being raised with a family of either same-sex or heterosexual parenting. So yeah. Mm-hmm.
It also states that a second complication is that these families are usually part of a blended family, including children from previous heterosexual marriages. Some of these families may deal with disagreements from other family members about the authenticity and valid of their family patterns. Lack of support from previous heterosexual partners or the other biological parent can cause major conflict and distress within the family system. Today, there are many therapists available who specialize in gay and lesbian issues and provide a safe, non-judgmental, and understanding environment for the family. Frequently, gay and lesbian parenting families will seek therapeutic help for guidance, support, and recognition that they may not be receiving from the broader social arena. Major issues affecting same-sex parenting families that are often addressed in therapy. Lesbian and gay parenting families may have concerns about discrimination in parenting and custody arrangement. A parent's minority sexual orientation and other gender identity status may be brought up in custody of dispute as a reason to restrict or deny custody by the children's other parent or by the courts. The many co-parenting and blended family complicities presented for heterosexual parents can also be presented for same-sex parents with additional complications of discrimination, stereotypes, and assumptions. And relationships and problems with non-biological parent figures are common among lesbian gay parenting families, simply due to the biological complications involved with conceiving children when parents are the same sex. I'm just mumbling over words. I gotta get it together. In same-sex relationships, it is common for extended families to acknowledge intimate relationships different from heterosexual relationships. These discriminatory treatment can be confounded by parenting relationships as well. Extended families may see parenting as a necessary step invalidating a relationship for same-sex couples, or they may view parenting with similar bias and discriminatory views, even denying one parent's relationship to the children. So far, how do you feel about that? How family members who may have a child that is in a same-sex parenting family or relationship, mm-hmm. not accepting that is a valid, you know, family?
I don't agree with that at all. I mean, first things first, that's your family. No matter what, they should support either you, your child, whatever, that's your family. So to me, blood is going to be thicker than anything, and your family should always have your back no matter what. So I don't agree with it, you know, your family not supporting you. And I also don't agree that it's not a, you know, valid relationship or valid family, that whether or not, you know, you have something between your legs or you don't, doesn't make, you know, what your family is. I just don't agree with it at all.
I completely understand what you're trying to say there. Don't get upset. It's okay. Explaining relationship status and family makeup to school professionals, medical professionals, children's friends / parents, as well as explaining relationship status and family makeup to children, can uniquely complex for same-sex parents. Though many family relationships may be complex, explaining family relationships is uniquely complex for lesbian and gay parenting families because of the lack of social norm and relevant examples in the media, stereotype notions about such relationships that are common, and the fear of discrimination faced by these families. So basically, it's just not the family, it's also society as a whole that doesn't accept them as a family. Your takes on that? Even though same-sex marriage got passed, do you still mm-hmm. feel like same-sex couples still have a long way to go?
Well, you're always going to have your ignorant people. You're always going to have your haters. You're always going to have your critics. It's always going to be a thing. And unfortunately, I have to say that it's always going to be a thing. That's just the way society is. But, you know, there have been improvements in the LGBTQ community. So hopefully, you know, further on, things will progress even more. But like I said, unfortunately, you're always going to have those people who are just going to be hating on you.
The article goes to finish up as Compton parent may be influenced by gay and lesbian parents' ability to accept and acknowledge their identity and how they are able to negotiate living in a heterosexist, homophobic, or otherwise discriminatory society while rearing their children in the family unit that is not socially sanctioned. Therapists acknowledge that the prevalence of both homophobia that is experienced by families as a result of the actions of others, as well as the existence of internalization homophobia and how this may impact families. Internalization homophobia is defined as a set of negative attitudes and effects towards homosexuality in other persons and towards homosexual features in oneself. Therapists will help illustrate to the family how homophobia could be impacting them. But internalizing homophobia and experiences of outside discrimination may mean the family needs more time in therapy to build stronger with the therapist and feel more comfortable disclosing personal and family-related concerns. I feel like this is a very insightful article. It was written by Deanna Linville. She has a PhD. And Maya O'Neill. So your thoughts on the article as a whole, just it went to explain about, you know, how society does have an effect on same-sex couple families. Mm-hmm. But however, it did state in the beginning that children still have the same abilities and learning abilities, emotional, maybe even more emotionally stable than heterosexual families. So your take on the whole article?
On the whole article, it was a great article. I mean, it's easily read and everything, but I mean, it's not the first time I've heard that, you know, kids who have, you know, same-sex parents are doing just as well as those who don't. So I have to say that, you know, it was well written, and I have to completely agree. And the facts are the facts. You can't change that.
That's true. So hey, we're gonna head into our second break. I'm DJ Unspoken, and my guest Karina has been joining me. She's gonna join me for the rest of the show. She's probably been on, what, 3 shows now? It's been good so far. You have been listening to radio.dominican.edu Penguin Radio. Stay tuned.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, cause I could draw, my uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face, she's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Trippin'. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant. But those that like the same sex have the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision. And you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Bye-bye. Even if I tried, even if I wanted to.
Gay, I would think hip-hop hates me. Have you read the YouTube comments lately? Man, that's gay, gets dropped on the daily. We become so numb to what we're saying. A culture founded from oppression. Yeah, we don't have acceptance for them. Call each other faggots behind the keys of a message board. A word rooted in hate, yet our genre still ignores it. Gay is synonymous with the lesser. It's the same hate that's caused wars from religion. Gender to skin color, the complexion of your pigment. The same fight that led people to walkouts and sit-ins. It's human rights for everybody, there is no difference. Live on and be yourself. When I was at church, they taught me something else. If you preach hate at the service, those words aren't anointed. That holy water that you soak in has been poisoned when everyone else...
What up, what up? We are back on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, here with me, DJ Unspoken, and my guest, Karina.
Hello.
Making our way into our next step topic of family, traditional families. Karina, your thoughts on that? And can you talk a little bit about your family as well?
Of course. So I come from a very traditional family. We, you know, all the families in my family are very traditional. It's husband, wife, and they all have, like, I don't know, 3 to 5 kids, if not more. And I was raised definitely around a loving mother and a loving father. I've seen them argue quite a bit, but I know that they love each other so, so much. And just like, you know, my aunts and uncles, everyone that, you know, we have, it's always a big family thing. Always, they're always together and everything. So it's pretty awesome.
So your takes on traditional family, just what is your definition of a traditional family?
A traditional, what kind of family? Just American family?
Yeah.
I would have to say, you know.
What would be a norm for you? What would be a norm for you to see?
A norm?
Yeah, well, like, society has a norm to man and woman traditional marriage. That's it.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's, I couldn't even think, I can't even think you could say that's norm now. If you would have asked me, like I said, when I was 10 years old, I would have said a man and a wife, you mm-hmm. know, and there are 5 kids. But if you ask me now, I'm like, there really is no norm.
Okay. Well, by definition, a traditional family means a husband goes to work for wages or salary while the wife and children stay home with the wife, basically responsible for buying, cooking, serving food, cleaning dishes, as well as clothes and rooms, and doing childcare. However, less than 46% of U.S. kids younger than the age of 18 are living in a home with 2 married heterosexual parents in their first marriage. This is a marked change from 1960, when 73% of children fit this description, and 1980, when 61% did. According to the Pew Research Center analysis of recent released American Community Survey, ACS, and Decennial Census data, rapid changes in American family structures have been altered the image of who's gathering for the holidays. While the old idea involved couples marrying young, then starting a family, and then staying married to death do their part, the family has become more complex and less traditional. Americans are delaying marriage, and more may be foregoing the institution altogether. At the same time, the share of children born outside of a marriage now stands at 41%, up from just 5% in 1960. While the debate continues as to whether divorce rates have been rising for or falling in the recent decades, It's clear that in the long term, the share of people who have been previously married is rising, as is remarriage. According to our analysis today, 50% of children are living with two parents who are in a remarriage. It's difficult to accurately identify stepchildren in the ACS data. So we don't know for sure if the children are from another union or were born within the remarriage. However, data from another census source, the 2013 Current Population Survey, indicates that 10% of children are living with step-parents. One of the largest shifts in family structure is this. 34% of children today are living with an unmarried parent, up from just 9% in 1960 and 19% in 1980. In most cases, these unmarried parents are single. However, a small share of all children, 4%, are living with two cohabiting parents, according to CPS data. Because of this concern about the quality of the new 2013 ACS data on same-sex marriage, we do not separate out the very small number of children whose parents are divided as in the type of union, but instead fold them into the single-parent category as well. This remaining 5% of children are not living with either parent, and most of these cases are living with a grandparent, a phenomenon that has become much more prevalent since the recent economic recession. Once again, an insightful article on what a family is in this day and age. Your takes on an article about traditional families and also about divorce and remarriage.
So the article itself is, you know, like you said, insightful, very informational. It was well written. And takes on divorce, I would have to say that I have never really been around divorce. It's not something that I don't know if is acceptable in my family, or you know, it doesn't happen very often. And I would have to say that, you know, no one in my immediate family, where aunts and uncles, have been divorced. My parents just celebrated their, I believe, 24th year anniversary together. My grandparents just celebrated their 60th. So it's pretty, like I said, divorce is pretty rare in our family, as you know, who we are. And remarriage, I would have to say that, to me, that's an interesting concept. It's just remarrying someone in terms of after splitting up with them. I'm happy that that can happen because, you know, I don't like to see love being lost. But, I mean, I have to say that a traditional family can work just as well as a family of same sex or anything else. I mean, I like to think so. I come from a traditional family.
So, as I said, when I asked you about the question about what is a norm that you see of traditional family or same sex, another article that I'm looking up right now, it says traditional families are no longer the norm, according to the Pew report. When you picture the typical American family, you can't forget about Leave It to Beaver type image. Currently, 54% of children in the country don't live in the home with two heterosexual parents in the first marriage, as I stated before. It's important to keep in mind that what many define as traditional is based on the 1950s style family. Gretchen Livingston, a senior researcher at the Pew and author of the study, told HuffPost in an email, "But in many ways, the 1950s and early 1960s were an anomaly, especially in the terms of the fact that people were marrying quite young and also having relatively large families." Like you said, the five children, which I don't want five children. That's a lot.
That may just be Hispanic thing.
Yeah, you know, I'm very grateful for my mom taking care of three. So five is not a number for me. Nowadays, only 42% of children live in this traditional family. Instead of 50% of today's kids are living with two parents in a remarriage, 30% living with unmarried parent, 4% living with cohabiting parent, and 5% don't live with either parent. For perspective, 70% of kids live in a traditional family home in the 1960s, while only 9% live with an unmarried parent. Livingston said that the decline in marriage over the last 50 years can explain the increasing number of kids living with single or cohabiting parents. It's also now more socially acceptable for people to cohabit, marry later, and have kids outside of marriage. 41% of births today are happening without a walk down the aisle, according to the Pew. Then, of course, there's the rise of divorce. The divorce rate may have peaked in 1981, but it's still contributing to the shift away from the 1960 traditional family structure. Have you ever seen Leave It to Beaver?
That episode? I have not. I don't think that was a thing in our... I think there was a movie on, like, Disney Channel when I was little. But I've never, like, the black and white. I've watched I Love Lucy.
No, be better. More of a story, when it comes to family, abnormal is the new norm. As you stated, me personally, I don't see a lot of traditional families. Mm-hmm. And now that, you know, going into my third subtopic, you know, I've had a been raised by a single parent for a while, a strong, independent woman by the name of Tina, which I am very grateful to have her in my life because I would not be the person I am today without her. So that's, for me, single parent households are the norm, and I think they're a lot better. This is my personal opinion. I think they're a lot better than traditional families because I feel like I get a lot more attention than from a traditional, because I mean, having both parents there, that's great. But my mom has been an excellent role model. She's pushed me to do things that I never thought I would have done, like for instance going into communications major, and now, you know, I'm on the radio. So I thank you so much, mother, for everything. I love you. But before we get into my third subtopic of family, single parent households, it's break time. This is Pinger Radio, the official radio station of the Dominican University of California. You have listened to me, DJ Unspoken, and my guest, Karina. So stay tuned as we come back and talk about single parent households.
You think about father, oh, how you try to be the perfect wife. You used to dress and fix your hair, then you smile through your tears. In the mirror, you would stare and say a prayer. Like, I wish you said I'm beautiful. I wish it didn't hurt at all. I don't know how I got. You took that ring out. You took that ring out. You're tired of the lies and trying to fight and cry. You took that ring out. Oh, never fun again. Dust yourself off when you love again. You found a new man, now you're shining. You're fine like it's my time. You took that ring out. Mama,
so sexy.
You live and learn, that's just the way life goes.
You're a killer. You're a killer.
Fix your hair, you'd always smile through your tears. And in the mirror, you would stare and say a prayer. Like, I wish you said I'm beautiful. I wish this didn't hurt at all. I don't know how I got here. I was once the one who had this heart. And then you had enough and you took that ring off. You took that ring off. You're tired of the lies.
Penguin Radio is the name. Keeping it real, talking can feel is the game. DJ Spoke here, and my guest Karina. For those who are just tuning in, we have discussed so far same-sex families and traditional families, and making our way to our final topic: single-parent families. Also, that song was for you, Mama. Just to let you know, that's how I feel about you because I love you so much. So, single-parent families. Over the past 20 years, single-parent families have become even more common than the so-called nuclear family or traditional family, consisting of mother, father, and children. Today, we see all sorts of single-parent families headed by mothers, headed by fathers, and headed by grandparents raising their grandchildren. So, Karina, single-parent families, your opinion about that?
Single-parent families, I have to give it up for you guys. It's definitely, I mean, it's definitely hard work. Being a single parent is twice the work, twice the stress, and twice the tears, but you also have twice the hugs and twice the love and twice the pride. So, you know, for those of you doing it out there, props to you.
So a single parent, sometimes called a solo parent, is a parent not living with a spouse or a partner who has most of the day-to-day responsibilities in raising the child or children. A single parent is usually considered the primary caregiver, meaning the parent is either separated, divorced, or children live with the custodial parent, have visitations, or secondary residential with the non-custodial parent. In a Western society in general, following separation, a child will end up with the primary caregiver, usually the mother, and a second caregiver, usually the father. So basically, I know with my mom, well, she is the primary caregiver because she gave me life pretty much. So she's my primary caregiver. Your takes on just, you know, sometimes divorce leads people into separation and be single parent. You got to go visitations, everything like that. And also I think that, you know, just financial reasons, a lot of stuff has, you know, caused people to separate and people become single parents. Your takes on that.
On single parents themselves?
Just single parents just single parents, not just a single parent family, just a single parent.
Like I said, it's a lot. I can only imagine how hard it could be, but I mean, me personally, I would assume that, you know, that's something that you have to persevere through, and you're going to do anything that you can for your child. I'm not a mother, so I wouldn't be able to, you know, express how I would do it, but I can only imagine how, you know, no matter what, you're going to do whatever you can for your child, because I know my parents do whatever they can for me and my brothers, and I'm sure your mom does whatever she can for you and your siblings. So
yeah, it also depends on the values, the strengths, and the weakness of the parent. And there's this article that said that single parent families put children at risk, which I really don't believe, because I'm not at risk because I'm in college. Researchers have several theories to explain why children growing up with single parents have elevated risk of experiencing social and emotional problems. Most refer either to the economical or parental resources available to children, or to the stressful events and circumstances in which those children must adapt to. So the economical hardships, for a variety of reasons documented elsewhere in this volume, most children living with a single parent are economically at a disadvantage. It is difficult for poor single parents to afford the books, home computers, and private lessons that make it easier for children to succeed in school. Similarly, they cannot afford clothes, shoes, cell phones, and other consumer goods that give their children status among their peers. What? Among their peers? I don't need all this stuff to be accepted. As long as my family loves me, I don't need to be accepted by people outside of that. Your take on that, whatever it's so far?
I don't agree with any of it. You know, different families or different people have different means. I know people I have friends who are raised by single parents who don't have everything they have. But at the end of the day, you know, like you said, the number one thing to have is, you know, the love and acceptance from your family. But I also have friends who are raised by a single parent. One of my really good friends is raised by a single parent, and she gets an allowance of $800 a week. I mean, it's basically, you know, different people have different means and have different situations. So you really can't say that. You can't generalize a single parent household.
Yeah. Moreover, many live in run-down neighborhoods with high crime rates, low quality schools, and fewer community services. Consists with these observations, many studies have shown that economical resources explain some of the differences in well-being between children with a single parent and those continuously married parents. Research showing that children do better at school and exhibit fewer behavioral problems when non-residential father pay child support, likewise suggesting the importance of income and facilitating children's well-being in a single parent household. So no. And also there's like peer pressure. I don't think peer pressure from just people outside, not just in school, just outside in general, it can also factor in. But I really didn't have any peer pressure. I mean, I had peer pressure, but I just didn't deal with it, because why? At the end of the day, all I have is my family. When everybody else is gone, all I have is my family. That's all that matters.
I mean, I think it also depends on the child, you know, on the kid's, you know, forefront. I think it also depends on, you know, their mindset. It's definitely, you know, like I said, different people have different situations and different people have different strengths and weaknesses. So if you're able to overcome that, I think you can. And if you overcome not having one of your parents in your life already, I mean, come on. I feel like that's peer pressure is the least thing you have to worry about.
Yeah, the article continues to go into the quality of parenting and then the exposure to stress. I mean, yeah, I had a little stress in my life, but my mom, being the strong, independent woman she is, gave me tools to, you know, just deal with it and move forward. So personally, I know, as I said before, I grew up in a single parent household. My mom raised me, my brother, and my sister, and she's done an excellent job. She has put three kids through college. I'm in my senior year, my brother's in his senior year, and my sister's already graduated and has a family of her own now. And I feel like we're doing great in life. We're excelling in sports, in school. I've been to, what, four different schools now, and my mom supported me through each transfer. So I don't feel as if being a single parent hinders a child from growing up to their full potential, because my mom's provided me everything that I needed. Maybe not everything that I wanted, but I've always had everything that I needed to be successful in life. So shout out to you, Mom, once again, because, you know, you're the best and better than everybody because you're my mom. So I'm allowed to say that. But that's just my personal story, because I did grow up with a single mom. And for me, I think life's been great. I mean, do you have friends who have single parents?
I do have friends who have single parents, yes.
And how's their life?
They get through it, you mm-hmm. know. I have some friends who kind of, you know, wish that they had that, you know, I guess, relationship with their mother, father, whoever they've lost. But I also mm-hmm. have friends who are like, you know what, I'm going to continue to live my life. If they don't want to be in my life, then that's, you know, on them. That's mm-hmm. their loss. So
there you go. I completely feel the same way. Shout out to you, Mom, once again. So we're going to head into our last break. When we come back, a quick wrap up and real words of the day. DJ Unspoken and Karina in here talking about families. You have listened to Penguin Radio, the official radio station of Dominican University of California.
This is your weekly Bosco break with your update of Dominican volleyball. The Dominican women's volleyball team was swept 3-0 at Point Loma on Thursday night to begin the Penguins' three-day, three-match road trip. The Penguins dug themselves in a hole early, hitting negative 53% in set one. They fared slightly better moving forward, but still hit .042 for the match. These Lady Penguins grabbed an early lead, but were unable to hold on in a 3-1 loss at Azusa Pacific for their second match. The two teams battled and were nearly even across the stat sheet, but the Cougars were able to use their depth to edge the Penguins in the late sets. The Dominican University of California women's volleyball team dropped its final match on its three-match road trip to Southern California in a tough 3-2 loss at Cal Baptist. The first-place Lancers jumped out to a 9-3 advantage in set one and rode it to a 1-0 lead, but Dominican responded by taking the next two sets to go up 2-1. Trailing a point, 14-13, in set 3, Dominican saw CBU score the next 5 points and Dominican would not recover. The Lancers scored the first 4 points in the deciding set and scored 5 of the match's 7 points. The Penguins, already thin on numbers due to mounting injuries, also caught a team-wide bug. Still, Dominican had 3 players in double-digit kills. Sophomore Amy Steinworth led all players with 18, freshman Brittany Lateague added 13, and junior Madison Pallison had a dozen. Junior setter Hannah Smith dished out 40 assists. 4 Penguins recorded double-digit digs, led by junior libero Amanda Lee's 27. Steinward added 15, Pallison had 12, and Smith had 11. The Penguins' blocking also continued to be a strong suit, with 18 in the match, 7 of which came from freshman Kate Even and 6 from Steinward. Dominican returns home to the Conlin Center for the next 2 matches. The Penguins host the newest member of the PacWest, Concordia Irvine, on Thursday, October 22nd at 7 p.m. On Saturday, October 24th, Dominican hosts Dixie State in a 3 p.m. matinee. Live stats and video for both matches will be available at DominicanAthletics.com/live, with live audio provided by radio.dominican.edu. That's the end of your Bosco break. Thanks for listening.
Hey, we are back, and this is radio.dominican.edu, Penguin Radio. So just a quick wrap-up. So far, we've talked about same-sex families, and my take on them, I think I'm all for it, because me being part of the LGBTQ community, I plan on having a family, maybe just one child, because, you know, two's a lot. One is a handful, two is two handfuls. So your thoughts on same-sex families?
Same-sex families, like I said before, all for it. Always have and always will be.
And also, same-sex marriages versus two individuals have to be very comfortable in the role and comfortable with their decision to be in a same-sex relationship in order to raise children that are going to be comfortable with who they are. That was just an opinion from my mother that she felt like she wanted to share with my real ones out here over the radio waves. Also, there has to be a balance in every type of family to care for either single parent, same-sex, traditional. The balance has to exist in order for the family to survive. There also be, I mean, just basically, just from that take, I feel like that's completely true. Because if there's not a balance between either family, same-sex, traditional, single parent, that family will be very dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. Your takes on just having that balance.
I mean, yeah, every family is different and every family is going to have their issues no matter what, whether you have two moms, two dads, a mom and a dad, or just, you know, a mom or a dad. So every family is definitely going to have their issues, but it's how you persevere and it's, you know, the core values of your family that's going to hold you together.
I completely agree with you on that. Also, do you feel like you have balance in your family?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like every family is dysfunctional, but do you feel like you have?
Oh, God, no. My family is very dysfunctional.
But, I mean, at the end, you know, we bicker and we argue and we do the most sometimes. But at the end of the day, you know, if something ever happens, I already know my family is always going to be there, whether we're mad at each other, whether, you know, there is something going on. If I need them, they're going to be there.
Yeah.
I hope. I really think so.
Yeah, there was this one picture that I saw the other day. You know how, yeah, it says like boyfriend, girlfriend, friend or whatever, and all the words at the end say end. Mm-hmm. And then family, it says I-L-Y. I love you. Whatever. But I feel like I should share that. But going into our real words of the day, appreciate what you have before it turns to what you had. I'm going to say that again because that hit home for me. Appreciate what you have before it turns into what you had. That's a great quote, and I feel like it's absolutely correct. Your thoughts on that quote?
I definitely have to agree with that quote. That definitely hits, you know, place in the heart. But it's true. Appreciate what you have now, because if you don't, it's going to end up, you know, it's going to get lost, and it's going to be what you had. You're not going to have it anymore, and it's going to kill you inside.
Yeah, I feel sometimes people take for granted the little things in life and sometimes the huge ones as well. Be thankful that you can breathe, talk, walk, see, smell, taste, because not everybody has those abilities. Be thankful for the clean water you have to shower and drink. Like, I see pictures of people in, you know, third world countries who are drinking water that's really, really dirty, that are not have the ability, that don't have the ability to bathe, that don't eat every day, that sleep on the ground, you know, first world problems. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to buy like 3 Wi-Fi routers just because our house is so big, so I need a Wi-Fi. Like, are you serious? Like, let's be real. I mean, be thankful that you're lucky to have a mom and dad in your life if you're able to have that traditional family household. I'm thankful for my mother, because without her, like I said before, I wouldn't be the person I am today. She has made me so much stronger mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Thank you, Mom, for everything. As always, remember, kind is the new cute. So, unfortunately, my time is up. You have been listening to Penguin Radio and my show, Keeping It Real, Talking You Feel. I want to thank my guests for coming on with me, Karina.
Hey. Thank you so much.
Yay! always.
Gross. I've had a great time, and I thank you for listening and for hanging in there with me. Till next time, folks, stay real.